This is the ColoradoHockey.com podcast brought to you by AvsFam, absfam.com. You all know about the shirts, but there's a lot of other stuff going on too. And if you keep a close eye on Facebook, Twitter, and even the website in the ideas section, you're going to see a lot of shirts that haven't been made, maybe won't ever be made, or could be made if you chipped in and had an opinion on them. Just let us know if you love it or not. And if you do, you never know. It could be a shirt coming your way soon. www.avsfam.com. We've been putting out a lot of podcasts lately and a few new series that are definitely themed. But today we're just going to talk a little hockey with one of our favorite people. Richard Pollock is a part of the Basement Boys of Hockey, and he is a smart dude who has exposure to our farm team where he's seeing some of our players who we don't get to see all the time, including Big Z, Rantanen, and others. So we ask him a lot of questions about the farm team. We ask him his thoughts on the Avalanche, and we talk hockey in general. It's a good time. There's good stuff in here, and we hope you enjoy it. So without further ado, the coolest song you've never heard, and Richard Pollock.
Yeah, huge shout out to the AVS fam. Colorado hockey's coming in, man. Let me teach you how to dutchie. On the ice, the dutchie touch. Hashtag volley volley. The crazy saves this so gnarly. The Condor and Landy. Team Butte is sweeter than candy. Colorado hockey's coming in. Colorado hockey for the win. Tune in to the podcast, we're live. Colorado hockey has arrived.
So I'm curious what you think of the Avs lately. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it seems like we're maybe 7 of 11 or so in our last run, something like that. Not horrible hockey, really. What do you think?
No, it's not horrible hockey. And last night's game was just – I mean, the Coyotes are tough. They're a tough team. And even though it's Lindback and net, he was making some saves that you know, some of them could have gone in. But in, even that OT winner was just tough because, like, I don't know if it was Barry that was trying to chase Bodker, but Bodker's going to smoke anyone if he's on a breakaway.
What do you do? There's so much ice out there with the 3-on-3, right? I mean, you saw how Arizona went about it. They pounced. They're like, we know possession is everything, and they got on that puck right away, and they didn't want to give it up. At one point, they did actually give it up, which I was like, what are you doing? But I don't know, man. These guys, they were prepared for 3-on-3 hockey, where it seems like maybe the Avs might go back and look at it and go, we might need to rethink how we go about this. Like, maybe you even put somebody out there who's just a really good face-off man to start it and then swap him out right away or something.
Yeah, it's difficult. And plus the Coyotes, I think that was their sixth time in OT, and that was only the third time for the Avalanche. So you got to get used to 3-on-3. It's a whole different type of game. And it's also very difficult to change lines. And what you see is players, they'll just go back into their own zone and have a line change and, I guess, waste an opportunity to have a nice breakaway.
Right, and they're ragging the puck, but as the other team, you have to recognize that and swap your guys on the fly, too. It's so built to have breakaways the exact way the game ended. It's absolutely built for that, the 3-on-3, I think.
Yes, and it's, I mean, Bettman, the whole point of it is scoring, and teams are scoring. So, I mean, the Avalanche haven't even been in a shootout this year, so it's working.
Yeah, and so, I mean, Varley, he's gone on record or saying he's not a big fan. I mean, obviously, a goalie wouldn't be a big fan of this, I wouldn't think, but I don't think Varley looks forward to those at all. So it'd be really nice if we could get a little bit more scoring from our top six right now.
Yeah, and I'm not really sure what Wall's doing with the lines. He had Mitchell top line center. I mean, I was fine with McKinnon, Duchesne, and Landeskog, but I'm not the coach.
Right.
I do think he should go back to that because it was working. I mean, just because it doesn't work for like one or two games doesn't mean it's broke. And
I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things too where you see a guy like Mitchell who, you know, he's good. He really is, but he's not the flashy good and all that. And I don't know if it's working because I think the biggest problem is they can't find a permanent line for McKinnon because he's so fast and he thinks the game is fast as he skates, I think. And some of these other guys are kind of slowed down guys. If you put him out there with Iggy, Iggy's looking to set up on the left-hand side for a one-timer, you know? You get Tanguay's looking to make those little clever passes from the slot or from the corner and things like that. But McKinnon is like all over the place, like a hyper dog just trying to get that damn ball. And I don't think they found the right pairing for him.
Yeah, he's trying to get a goal. You could tell he was getting really frustrated yesterday. He had about 6 or 7 shots, which is good, and just none of them went in. And he's just looking for a goal, like, really soon. And hopefully he gets one tonight.
Yeah, I know that he's jonesing big time. I mean, I think he's about to just swallow the puck and jump in the net at this point, if that's what it takes. But you could tell this guy wants to be a star. He wants to be mentioned with like the Stamkos lines or Taze, things like that. Like he wants to be known as one of the best ever. And I think that he feels like he's just not producing at that level. And then he starts to grip that stick harder, and pretty soon he's just not as effective as he would be if he was just loose and did his thing, I think. And it's easy to say that,
Yeah, he
right?
just.
As a guy who's sitting in a chair in front of a computer, but
Yeah.
that's what I see when I look at it.
Yeah, he kind of needs to take he just needs to cool off like Duchesne did. Duchesne was getting so upset about not scoring. You remember he had those two like open net type things and he shot it, and then like I think Cam Ward made a like a glove save, and there was another one that someone made else made a glove save, and you just get it gets in your head after a while, and McKinnon just needs to like just relax and just, you know, do what he does, and that's speed and creating opportunity, and even one of those shots will go in, and then all the pressure will be taken off, at least for
Yeah.
that game.
If we weren't in such a spot too with our, I mean, the division that we're in, the points that we have and trying to catch up, I think that everyone's gripping the stick tighter too. But I think that if we were a team that was winning a lot and we could, afford to lose a game here and make a bonehead play, I think he'd be in a better place too. But I don't know, man. I
Yeah.
don't want to get rid of him or anything. I'm just saying, I think we need to find somebody who can play the game with him a little bit better than the guys we're putting out there.
Yeah, I mean, not obviously not going to start anything, but Jonathan Drouin's not been doing great for the Tampa Bay Lightning, and those two were lights out in junior. So, in the future, if maybe Drouin's on the block, I wouldn't really hesitate to try to get him because those guys have chemistry together and they can play together.
Oh man, speculate away. I'm definitely not a guy people are gonna
Yeah.
believe a trade rumor from. So yeah, hypothesize, man. No, I don't know anything about Jeroen other than he is currently on my NHL 2015 game. I just drafted him for my BA GM.
Yeah, he's I mean, he's not really. He was the third pick, and he was picked before Seth Jones, who's already proven to be an NHL defenseman. And Drouin's just not. He was playing with Stamkos early in the season. I don't know where he is now. Maybe third line, but he shouldn't be third line. He should be top line, and he should be getting the minutes. And I think he would get the minutes over here in Colorado, but or over in Colorado, but. I'm not really sure, and maybe McKinnon would spark him up in his game.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've definitely got some contract things to consider this next year. And plus, I'm guessing a Jeroen doesn't come cheap, be it money or people going in
No.
trade, you know?
No, he wouldn't come cheap unless he just doesn't do anything the next couple of years,
And the
for sure.
Avs have shown a willingness, though, to take a chance on guys who haven't quite lived up to their potential. That's pretty much the story of
Yes.
EJ, actually. And EJ's paid off pretty good. I mean, I don't know what his points are this year, but he hasn't. I don't know. I thought he's been pretty good. I think that EJ could definitely go on a streak right now where he does a little bit better, but he's also, so responsible for some of that back end D stuff, as much as we want him to skate down the ice and be the Condor, that again, like if the team was winning, I think we'd see everybody loosen up and be a little bit more playful with their game and, doing better things. But I think the Avs would take a chance on a guy if he has, that kind of potential and they feel like our system could fit him better.
For sure, and that's what we saw in Grigorenko over the summer, because people kind of were losing hope on him in Buffalo, but he's actually doing pretty good for us for being that like third, fourth line center.
Let's unpack that a little bit because I'm on the fence about him. I mean, there seemed like there was so much hype about this guy coming, right? It was like, oh, we're gonna get Griggs and Waugh knows him and this could be really, really good. And it seems like he's at best maybe a top nine forward right now, but it seems like he's struggling to be
Yeah.
in that role where I expected to see this guy maybe top six or something, I mean I'm not sure what his game should have been or what I thought I was gonna see, but so far he just seems like he's not a detriment, but he's not like a huge upside. Is that fair, do you think? Or what were people expecting?
I think he could be a great player, but you got to look at are you remember that Canadiens game earlier in the season when we beat them like I don't know 6-1 or something?
Yeah, I think so.
So Landeskog was scratched that game. Or no, he was suspended, I want to say, but yeah, Grigorenko played first line with McKinnon and Duchesne, and he was getting. I think he got a goal and two assists or three assists. And what Grigorenko needs is he needs to play with another guy like Duchesne or McKinnon or even a Landeskog. And I don't know who he's playing with right now. Is he playing with McLeod? I'm not really sure, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure where he's at right now. We've been doing a little bit of juggling on the lines, and I have to
Yeah, we're
admit, the
juggling it
last
up a
game I
little
was
bit.
multitasking because, like I said, I was getting inspired on some shirts and stuff. But Yeah, we're definitely juggling lines if we got Mitchell up there on that front line.
Yeah, so he's not playing with the guys he should be playing with, and I think Walsh should be having Grigorenko maybe play some more games on that top line or even second line with guys who could score and see what he does. And if he's getting assists or if he's scoring goals, that's great. But, I mean, we need to see what kind of potential he has for the future of the Avs. Plus, he's an RFA this summer, and we don't want to lose him if he's still a good player.
Yeah, and you'd hope that he would want to stay with us, right? I mean, I don't know what his situation is, but if he's proved himself enough to make more money somewhere else, I wouldn't be surprised if he went. I mean, it's still a business.
Yeah, I heard the KHL was knocking on his door over the summer, so that's what worries me.
But don't we have another guy in the KHL right now that we're looking at? Like, what, I can't even say it.
Oh,
like,
Radulov.
Thank you. Yes, that.
Yeah, he's probably going to finish the year off there because he's making I think he's making like $7 million over there.
Wow.
And I think he wants to play in the U.S. because he just don't mark this on me, but he just had a kid and he wants to maybe raise his kid in the U.S. and maybe have his kid come up through, like, you know, United States hockey and have him start there. But I'm not really 100% sure on that, but I don't know. Maybe if we got Radulov, that'd be pretty dope. That'd be really cool because he's a top six player.
And he's pretty offensive, if I remember right. He's not exactly like one of these utility players. It's, you know, really good two-way and all that. Like, my understanding is he's pretty just offensive. Which seems to be
he's
players.
Yeah, he's kind of like an Ovechkin. I mean, I'm not saying he is Ovechkin, but he's able to get assists and he's able to just nip nets and have beautiful highlight reel type goals.
Right, like regardless of how prolific he is, his mindset is the same thing. Like the guy, you know, he's north-south, really. He's looking to put the puck in the net, and he has abilities, what I've seen. But that's really all I know about him. I just know that, again, there's more hype, and it seems like more and more Russian players are coming into the Avalanche organization.
Yeah, and because, I mean, we have a pretty good European – we have some good European scouts, and not that Radulov has to be scouted, but we have a couple guys. We have a guy named Boykov. I think he's definitely playing for Team Russia in juniors right now. And I think we got him in fifth or sixth round, and he's playing like second or third line for Team Russia, which is good.
Yeah. I forgot about the World Juniors. I watched the first period of the first game between the United States and Canada, and man, that was pretty intense. These guys aren't exactly fans of each other, I don't think.
Oh no, everyone's trying to get that gold.
Yeah, but they looked good, and I think so. We have Rantanen playing, we have Boykov, and there's one other guy somebody told me about who's playing in the World Juniors, who's an Avalanche prospect. I can't remember who, but we're reasonably represented, but not overly so. I think there's other teams with a lot more players playing right now.
Yeah, I think the Coyotes have about six or seven or something like that, which is crazy.
Yeah,
and
that's
an
organization.
Yeah, they'll be really good soon, which is scary.
Are you a fan of Domi? He was pretty good last night.
Yes, I'm a fan of Domi and Duclair. I thought that the Rangers trading Duclair to the Coyotes was a really dumb move. I think they're going to be – they could even be like a Sagan Ben if they're playing top line together in the future.
I mean, they definitely seem to click, so it's a good move for Arizona, but it seems like Arizona is really gearing up to be a tough team for the next 4 or 5 years once they can get through a couple hurdles, you know?
Yeah, they just need to improve the defense more and probably land themselves a goalie besides injured Mike Smith.
True. Yeah, I mean, it's not unlike our story. We have goalies we think can do it, but they haven't done it consistently, and then definitely our defense could still use some bolstering, I think. I mean, we're getting better, no doubt about it, and I have to say that Beauchemin has been better than I thought he would be. He finally started to do his thing, what we got him for, and I think that he's having a good impact on the other guys, but we still need more.
Yeah, we do need some more, and I don't know. I think this Barra thing, that was very dumb. I'm not really sure what he hurt himself playing soccer before the game warming up, but that's not good because we have Kelvin Pickard's going to be playing tonight, and Barra might have just lost his spot if Pickard's doing good.
I was going to ask you about picks. This is a really good transition. So what is his future? Is he Avalanche or is he trade bait?
I'd say he's Avalanche. I'd say him and Varley might be switching off in the future. I mean, if there was a good trade offer, because teams love having younger goalies that are already proven themselves, if there was a great trade offer, that, I mean, I wouldn't be – I would definitely accept that if Varley's still playing good, and if that improves our offense or defense, I would definitely take that.
So what do you think is Varley's deal right now? Not like in a bad way, but like what makes him a good goaltender that we're not doing right now? So it seems like something's off, right? In the past, I mean, this sounds pathetic and stupid, but what it seems like to me is that he almost has to be peppered with shots to stay on his game and focused and be like beast mode Varley. It's like when he doesn't get a lot of shots, that's where it seems to get a little sketchy on what goes in. Is that fair or just totally out of the mark?
That's definitely fair. He loves shots, and I mean, it's kind of strange hearing like the goalies like being having more shots per game because they play better. But yeah, Varley, I think when he gets more shots, he looks better. But he will be switching over to realizing that he's not going to be getting 30 plus 40 plus shots a night, and he just needs to focus throughout the game and just always be ready for shots to be coming in, and that's what we need him for. And he does look like he's adjusting to it.
I hope so. I mean, because he's, I don't know how old he is, but he's not old enough to be worried about his downside yet. He should be in his prime, I think. Yeah,
he's only 27. Goalies, I mean, the main best goalies right now are like 28, 29. So he still has great. He has like more to come for him.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what our contract situation is either, but for the years we have him for right now, I mean, I feel like he's definitely our goalie, regardless of how things go, how Barrett plays, how Picks plays, which is unfortunate because Pickard's coming up, man. He's getting there. He's playing a lot of games, and even from his own little interview the other day, he's playing games where he gets, 10 shots, 20 shots, and then he gets, like, a 50-shot game, and he has games where guys are running at him and games where he's bored in the net, and, he's seeing everything out there right now, but when he comes up, what I like is that he's there mentally, I think. While he might still be working on some physical things or the game of hockey, the way it is in his brain, I think that when it comes to just the mental toughness of what happens in the NHL and the pressure situations, I feel like he's there.
Yeah, and Pickard does not want to be sent back down. He really wants to stay up with the Avalanche, and I don't know. I think he thinks he's proven himself, and I do too, and the fans do too, and if he proves himself tonight with something, it's going to be really hard to send him back down.
Right. I'd love to have it be a game where it's all about him, whether it's a shutout or whether it's a close one that he does something big in. I would love to just see that same kind of story we had last year where he did that big come at me, bro, pose after the game that became a shirt.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about. That was good stuff. I'm a big fan of Pickard.
Same.
So what about Big Z then, since we're kind of rampaging it right now? Is this guy getting his shit together? Are we going to see him on the Avs anytime this year?
I don't know, but he is getting his shit together in the AHL because he's playing first line now on defense, and he's scoring goals. He's taking some big goals. And I don't know. I can't tell you the exact amount of goals he has, but he's really stepped it up since Rantanen's been gone, and even when Rantanen was playing just last month and a half.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, There's a handful of guys who are on that Rampage team who I think could make an appearance this year, and it'll be telling because there's some guys on the Avalanche who have some contract situations coming up, and also some guys who are just getting older, to be honest. So I think that some of these young guys might get a look depending on how things go, or just regardless.
Yeah, right now it's the Avalanche trying to just play as hard as they can in the Central. I mean, if you look at the Pacific, I think we would be in a playoff spot, or we'd be like a point or two down if we were in the Pacific. But since we're in the Central, we're second to last, or maybe even last. But no, I think we're second to last. We're above the Jets. But it's so hard to do.
That's unfortunate, man. Why doesn't the league take care of that? I know it's probably a silly question. But it seems like this is something they want to
like
work
they will.
On. How do they do that then? Do they move teams around, or?
They'll just have to I don't know. I'm not really sure in that case, but I would love to be in the Pacific.
it seems like that would
make playoffs.
I don't know what it would mean for travel and all that. And again, I'm speaking out of school, but I'm just kind of throwing shit out there.
Yeah, I'm not really sure with travel either, but by 2015 and in the future, maybe traveling will be easier for players to do.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I hope that we find a way to at least compete for the playoffs this year. I wouldn't put money on us making the playoffs, but man, I want this season to mean something other than just yet more struggles. Like, I'd like to see something come together and us take a serious run or, be a spoiler at the very least, something like that. And I don't know, like I said, that we'll catch up to the playoffs, but if we do, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, and plus, you mean you could look at us at the beginning of the season and be like, "Oh, no way, we're making the playoffs." And like right now, at our spot, we're only like 6 or 7 points out of wild card, which is not bad. It's just so tough in the Central that like a couple games you could just be to the bottom again. And but if the Avs pick it up, and if even Pickard plays really well tonight, or if some guys start scoring more goals, or if even MacKinnon gets on fire soon, I wouldn't be surprised if we made wild card.
How great would that be to see MacKinnon have just a breakout this year? Just whatever it takes, whatever flip has to be switched, that
Yeah.
it happens and he clicks on something. That would be awesome. That would make up for not making the playoffs if we just had something that, without a doubt, showed that this is a team that is going to be a force in the future.
Yeah, and plus I'm sick of hearing just other teams and stuff be like, "Oh yeah, the Avalanche, they're bottom of the division type team." We're not. Like we're a good team. We know how to get it done. It's just that some games it's either our goaltending is off, or our defense isn't playing that well, or we're just not scoring. And just, if we have the talent, we just need to get those goals and have a great performance by our goaltenders each night.
So, if you think about the last two games, right? Toronto and then last night Arizona. I think those were the last two because we had that big break. I'm off a little bit, but they represent the two kind of games we're not winning. There's one where we screw up somehow. We take too many penalties. Something happens and we end up getting, caught in this landslide of a hockey game and losing big. And then we have these other ones where you could make the argument that we played good games and we lost by, just a goal or a bounce or an unfortunate this or that. And those seem like the games we could get back. And it almost seems like we have more of those than we do the total blowout games, right? I mean, some of the games we lose by one goal, there's some bonehead stuff in there, no doubt about it. But it seems like we could fix that. And the blowout games, I think, are just going to happen. I don't think there's any team in
Yeah,
the
they
league that
happen.
doesn't get
Yeah, for
blown out
sure.
here and there. So I think there's hope that way, don't you?
Yeah, and that Toronto game, Toronto just, they always play great against the Avs, and you can't put them on the power play because they just score. They just know how to score on the power play. I mean, sometimes we don't really score on the power play, or we don't look great, but Toronto does. And that night, Varley was just he was just off his game, and he was coming off from getting that first star of the week, and obviously he was probably tired and just ready to take a break from hockey for that week, or for those couple game or a couple days. And that Arizona game, I mean, Arizona's a good team, and we took them to OT, which is great, and we got a point out of it.
Yeah, and that was unfortunate the way it ended last night, but you have at the same time you have to go, that was just a great move, great shot. I mean, it's 3-on-3 hockey, it's a breakaway, it's the end of the game, and this guy just, makes a good move and roofs it. So what are you gonna do?
You're not going to stop Bodker on that breakaway. It just right when I saw that happen, I was like, "Oh, we got the point." Because
Right. You kind of throw your hands up in the back of
Parley could
the chair and
be,
go, game over.
For sure.
So, who do you think is our sort of wild card player right now? Like, not in the terms of playoffs, but like, who is the guy on our team who has the most potential to step up who hasn't yet?
Well, I'd say the wild card player on their team that has stepped up, like, since he's been with the Avs is Martinson. I mean, this guy, I mean, geez, he looks like he's been playing in the NHL for years. I don't know
It didn't take
if
him
any
long to
of us
ramp
have
up.
seen this, but no, this guy, he's like a truck. He's just running through players. He's hitting players hard. He's fighting Steve Downey and making Steve Downey look like a clown while fighting.
He
I
looked
mean,
like
I don't know
Peros
where
when he
this
was
guy
fighting,
came
didn't
from.
he? I get that
Yes, he
Downey's
did.
not a huge man, but man, the way he held him and just kind of thump, 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 that was awesome.
Yeah, he's smacking him around, and Martinson's just making these good passes, and he's going to the net and taking shots. And even though his shot's not great, like they'll go in, and just he's like a what is he 6'4", 6'5" type guy. I mean, that's and his skating's just phenomenal, and he's able to catch up to these faster skaters, and that's what the Avalanche need. And for a guy that was undrafted playing in Germany, that's awesome that we got him.
Yeah, I've started referring to him as the most interesting man in the world because it's kind of like that, honestly. It's like there's this weird guy who comes over right when Movember's happening. So he grows this ridiculous mustache and he's kind of getting his game together, but you see some hope, right? And he's a character, man. Just his demeanor is cracking me up and like his interviews. But then all of a sudden he's finishing checks and he's knocking guys, right on their ass, honestly.
Oh, he's running over dudes. Yeah, he's like, these dudes are like just flying. Like, he has a hit on like Barrett Jackman from a couple games ago when we were playing Nashville. He just flattened him out like a pancake.
That was unreal. Crazy. That was Barrett Jackman too, who's not easy to flatten, but he did. I remember it.
No.
Yeah,
he's a tough dude, but. And plus, like, the Avs team, they love Martinson. Did you see their faces when he was punching Downey right next to the bench?
It was like a comic strip, man. The guy's behind the bench. You got McLeod back there giving some advice. He's like, left, left, under, under, under. And you got Iggy, yeah, who's just giggling. And then you got McKinnon, who's, like, pumped up. Like, he's watching the UFC, ready to go have a fight in the bar or something. He's like, oh, my God. And then the next shift, McKinnon goes out there, and he's getting into it with people, loses his helmet, throws a couple knuckles.
Yeah, players like Martinson is—he's good for the Avs right now. And this is—I mean, without him, I don't know where we could be right now. We'd have—I'd say he's like a—he's kind of like an evolved Dennis Everberg, if you kind of think about it.
I tweeted that last night. He's the new Everberg. The thing is Everberg.
Oh,
didn't,
really?
He didn't become what we thought he was going to be, or what I thought he was going to be. And I think it had to do with that shoulder injury where he started playing a different game. I mean, he was never really a bruiser, honestly, even with his size, but he was willing to do it to stay on the team. And then he got hurt and he came back and he wasn't finishing checks. He wasn't, you know, putting exclamations on the ice every time he went. He was just kind of throwing some commas out there, and not horrible, but at the same time, some defensive breakdowns. And there's a reason that, you know, he went back down. Waugh doesn't sit with that very well. He has, you know. If we look at Griggs, we were talking about him. Griggs goes from a top six to the bottom of the pack when he has a bad game. Waugh's not afraid to do it. But at the same time, when you get somebody like Martinson who's playing really good, Waugh's going to give him minutes. He's going to put him in situations. And I love that about Waugh. But Martinson, no doubt about it, he's earned it. He is definitely my favorite player right now.
Yeah, same.
Which is saying a lot because I come off of Jack Skilly, who, you know, again, isn't a top prospect. He's not a guy that makes a lot of money, but man, he shows up every damn night. He plays good hockey, and he's got a better shot than anybody's going to admit on another team. Or, you know, he's a good hockey player. He's not taking over games like other guys, unless he's on that sort of bottom energy line where he goes out there for, I don't know, what is it, 8 minutes a night he plays? 10, maybe? Mm-hmm. And when he's out there, though, you always know he's out there, and that's what you have to do as one of those guys.
Yeah, he's flying to the net, and he's just a little physical type guy, and he's getting the job done. He earned his spot on the team for sure.
I'm not even sure he's that little. I thought so at first too, but the more I see him standing next to other guys, I'm like, wait a minute, he's not a small dude. He moves like a smaller guy.
Yeah, he does. He might even be 6 foot. I'm not really sure, but yeah, he does look little on the ice, but maybe that's because he's flying. He looks like a Duchesne out there, kind of.
Yep, and then if he gets that opportunity, though, especially coming down like the left side, almost at the dots, he can put a wrist shot past any goalie in the league. I mean, he's got that shot.
Oh, yeah.
He's just, you know, he doesn't get the same exposure or opportunities that you would if you're on a top line where other guys are doing more away from the puck instead of, you know, in the corner, they just landed a big hit and now they're on their butt with another guy. That's what those energy lines are doing. But if you're on another one where people are following McKinnon around, things would open up for him, and I think he'd get some more goals, too, if he was on aligned with a little bit more talent.
Yeah, maybe we might see Wall put him up on first line just because that speed, and if those goals keep going in, yeah, put him first line. I would totally be for that.
Pretty soon we got Skilly with Mitchell in the middle and Greg Renko. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're shuffling lines ourselves now. I can see how it's happening. It's a rabbit hole.
Yeah, I don't even know the lines tonight, to be honest, but hopefully they're different from yesterday because I wasn't really for Mitchell playing top line.
Yeah, I'm not even sure myself. That's not really stuff I kind of concern myself with. Usually it's like when it's game time, I turn it on, I'm all about it. But as far as stats and all that, I mean, sometimes I look. Sometimes I'm curious to know, like, okay, how well did Duchesne do from, you know, first month and then the second month? And that was pretty dramatic. He seems to be falling off again right now. But other guys, I mean, stats just don't always tell the whole story. You can watch a game and know who's really making the effort and who's doing the right thing.
Yeah, and plus, any player could have that turnaround like Duchesne did, you know, scoring. Did he even score a goal in October? But and then he was just on fire then. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a player start rising up, even starting tonight and
getting
a goal.
I thought about this last night. I just told you I don't pay attention to stats, but I took a note to actually look and see. So when he was down, right, Waugh had this theory that, or maybe it wasn't a theory. Waugh just knows because he's a coach, but the idea that Duchesne wasn't around the net. And then suddenly he started going around the net and he scored a lot. So now that he hasn't been scoring as much, and I don't know what it's been, a week or two, probably not as long as you think with the holidays blended in there, but I was going to go back and like rewatch a game and try to understand, is he not going where he was before? Is that it? Is this like that switch we talked about where, you know, he was next to the net and then he flipped the switch, he's not hanging out by the net anymore, and that's not why he's scoring? That was something I was interested in that includes stats, but just this idea is like, is Wah really onto it there, or is there more to why Duchesne is hit and miss, hot and cold and all that?
Yeah, I don't know. It just it all depends the game, and it's just even last night, the Coyotes have pretty big guys. I mean, I think they had John Scott playing last night, which is kind of crazy. But it's kind of, if Duchesne's able to stand near the net for being the guy his size, he's going to get a goal because it's his hands are just they're great and his shots is great. So, but what teams are probably starting to notice is Duchesne standing near the net, so they'll get a bigger guy to go and stand next to him and get him out of the way. But I don't know, if the opportunity comes or Duchesne's next to the net and there's no one there, he'd get a goal for sure.
Right. I mean, he's one of those guys where he can take it out of his skates and have, you know, 6 inches to work with and roof it. He's got the skills for that. It's just the opportunities. So maybe what we really need too is, you know, to crash that net a little bit more. And maybe Duchesne isn't the guy right in front of the net. Maybe that's more of a Martinson role or somebody bigger. But we have Duchesne sort of on the edges, kind of like those little fish that hang out by the sharks and eat all their food. One of those guys.
Yeah.
That was a silly ass analogy, wasn't it?
No, maybe even put Martinson on top line if you're going to have Duchesne and MacKinnon out there, even though he's a great skater, so he could maybe even catch up to them and just have him park in front of the net and just have Duchesne just come in and just sneak in through the net and get one in.
I would do it right now.
I mean,
now.
I'm not the coach, but I would do that. Yeah, I would do that.
Wah's shaking things up everywhere, and this guy, he's hot right now, and he knows it. He's getting interviewed by Julie Broman, I think is her name. And, you know, he's like, well, you know, the style of play I do and this and that. Like, he knows that he's kind of a fan favorite, too. So while this guy's on a high, man, ride that streak and put him out there and see what happens, I think.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm not the coach, by the way.
Yeah, but, I mean, you got to try stuff out to see, I wouldn't have thought that Duchesne would be playing wing, but he was playing right when the ball put him on wing, he started scoring goals. So, yeah, as long as we start trying stuff out, then things will change.
Given the people we have in the situation, I think he's better off on the wing for sure. I think that we have guys who are better on the faceoff dot, and we also have guys who are a bigger presence who can at least tie things up or, you know, create a bit of a scrum in there. So I think he's better off coming in kind of like in front of the net where, you know, there's chaos. He comes in on the side, does some magic, suddenly there's goals.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I make it nice and simple and easy. Yeah, man, just do magic. That's all we need.
Yeah, we just we're not a bad team, and I think the boys know that, and the coach knows that. It's just we're in a tough division. That's simple as that. Central division is scary.
So you think that we'd be better off in another division though, like year after year? I mean, this is tough, right? I mean, I don't even know the stats. I was about to throw some numbers out there, but I think that from our division, I think that there's teams that could compete in the playoffs as well as other teams that just make it in the other divisions. I think that there's a discrepancy definitely in offense in particular.
Yeah, just I mean, all the Avalanche have to do is either stack up the team more or just play the game they're playing, and maybe teams in the Central, like the Blues, will start dying down with their players being great. But even the Blues have guys coming up that are scoring goals, and I mean, it's just so hard because this is Central Division is all.
So if we compare this year's team to last year's, though, we've definitely gotten bigger, right? We have bigger guys for sure.
Oh, yes.
We're not calling up small guys, really. We haven't seen a Colin Smith. We haven't seen a Joey Hischin again in quite a while.
I don't even think we'll see a Joey Hischin like really soon, which is sad, but
it is. But it's, you know, I've been going through the every Avs player ever, and a lot of the guys were the 1 game, 2 game, even up to 10 game guys. They're small, and you know, there's only so many St. Louis out there. So
yeah, for sure. And plus, Wall doesn't really like smaller players. He likes guys like Martinson who could skate and be big.
Why do you think that is, though? What do you think that Wah sees that, you know, just he just doesn't like it?
It's because the Central's tough and it's hard and players will get run over, and everyone in the Central has to be able to get past bigger guys, and they can't be smaller players unlike Martin Saint-Louis or like I guess Nathan Gerby if you think about it. But those type of players are able to squeeze through cracks and stuff like that, but those type of players are more fit for the East, where it's the East, I see more skill in individual players and more passing opportunities. And with the West, I see more of a grind-like game where guys like Martinson and, like, you know, guys are just hitting each other down and scoring goals, like, a sloppy type way. But, you know, they're two different type of styles.
I wonder, too, if these guys, like, there's so the difference between regular season hockey and playoff hockey, totally different, right? And, like, playoff hockey is not sustainable. You can't play like that and not get hurt a lot throughout the year. But I wonder if coaches don't look at it and go, you know, this guy might come up and play great right now, but he's too small. Once we get to the playoffs, the guys are just going to kill him. They're going to, you know, destroy him with physical play and things like that. And I don't know. I wonder if they think ahead that much or if they're just looking for, you know, like right now, we need wins right now. And if we could bring a guy up like Hischin and he suddenly started scoring, I just don't know if we could count on that when it came playoff time when people like Anaheim with their big ass players come in and just destroy us, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about weakening the other team's players. And if they're just going to be laying hits on Joey Hischin, Joey Hischin's going to get hurt eventually with all those hits being hit on him because they see he's a smaller guy.
I would hope it wasn't the head, obviously, but yeah, that I don't know, man. No. I think the WA's probably onto this. I think we probably need bigger players who can take some abuse.
Yes, and even the guy who's playing for Russian juniors right now, Boykov, who's the AS prospect. I think he's like 6'5" or 6'6", something crazy like that.
That's big.
He's a center. Yes, it's big. We drafted big.
But that's kind of how things are going, right? These guys are coming into the league younger and more ready to play, and then they're bigger but still athletic. So who knows what we're going to see 10 years from now. Fucking giants out there that skate like Duchesne.
Yeah, some like 6'5 guys like moving like McKinnon in the future. Yeah, that's I wouldn't be surprised to see that. The game's getting bigger.
So I wonder what the league's going to do with that, though, if the goalies keep getting bigger. I think the guy last night was like 6'6 or something, and that was what that skates on.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, you get it. So when that guy goes down in a butterfly and his legs get, you know, out there like that, there can't be a lot of net left anymore. You have to be a guy who can get around a goalie instead of try to shoot past him. That's just insane.
Yeah, it is really insane.
Although I don't remember who was in net last night. I can't think of the name. But he was big. That's all I remember.
Yeah, Lindbeck.
Lindbeck, that's right. So he's not really, like, known as a great goalie, though. That's interesting.
Nah, he's a full-time backup player or goalie. I mean, Mike Smith's out for the Coyotes, so... And Lindbeck's record's not even that great. He's kind of slower with, like, glove and recovery, I'd say. But he just played a really great game last night, and he knew that the Avs were shooting at him. And he just stopped a lot of shots.
Yeah, so from my logic, we typically were kind of – we teeter-totter back and forth. So tonight we should win. I'm guessing we're going to win big. But, yeah, man, that's we need to put more than just, you know, one or two games together. We got to go on a run for it to mean anything right now.
Yeah, we have to, because I think the Flames are on like a 6 or 8 game winning streak, and we need to turn out to be like the Flames. Because the Flames are struggling in the beginning of the year like the Avs were, but now they're streaking like the Avs were earlier in the month. But, yeah, we just need to start getting more wins, more shots on net, more opportunity. And I even think the lines need to be changed up to the original type lines, or you can put Martinson on first line to see what something happens. I don't know. Some change.
Let's do that really quick because I'm not going to keep you all day, but I definitely want to talk to you about what's going on in your world, how the podcast is going. But before I do that, let's let you be the coach, hypothetically. So let's say that you had to make a move. Somebody had to go down. Somebody had to come up from Rampage. Who would you send down? Who would you send up right now? And this isn't even like a choice. You have to do it.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to look at the defense, and I'm going to say – probably a guy like Gormley shouldn't be scratched and played every other night. I'd say Gormley should probably be playing. I don't know if he's on a two-way contract, though, so if he'd have to go through waivers because he'd probably be claimed. But let's just say he was on a two-way contract. I'd probably send Gormley down, have him playing top-line minutes, and maybe even call Zadorov up or players like – I don't know if you've heard of Matt Clark. We got him from the Ducks last year.
So I recall it. I don't know much about him. I'd be speaking out of school if I tried to tell you about him.
He's a defensive type player. He's able to create opportunities, but he's a bigger guy and he's known for hits and playing just a strict D game. I'd probably have Matt Clark come up, see if he does anything good, which Genin having that concussion.
Is that what I hadn't heard that yet. So I knew Genin had some issues, but I didn't know what they were. Like I thought he was ready to play.
got like a mild concussion. I don't know if he's playing tonight. He probably might even be playing tonight, but a healthy Nate Gannon ain't that great.
That's true.
But
that's probably the most profound thing you've said. You've said a lot of cool stuff, but I like it. That's like a quote right there. A healthy Nate Gannon ain't that great.
Yeah. Yeah, and one with a concussion isn't really good at all. So.
Okay, so that's who's going up and down, right? Let's say of the next five games, who should be our starters for goalies? Should it just be picks tonight and the next four Varley, or do you alternate a little bit?
I'd look at the previous record of Varley against teams. I'd say if he's playing like such as Varley has like Chicago's number. If I don't know who we're playing, if we're playing Chicago at all, but he knows what Chicago does. So I'd have him play like teams that he does good against, and then have Pickard play against teams that are maybe struggling scoring or something, just to have the confidence in Pickard come back and have him adjust back to the NHL. I'd have something like that going.
That's a smart move, I think. Cool, man. So, yeah. Like I was talking about before, tell me a little bit about what's going on in your world. You guys got the podcast back together?
My friend Chris just came back from school. He's on winter break. We're going to be shooting one or recording one probably in the next couple of days. But right now we're just trying to get more members to the Basement Boys, and we're going to start probably the blog up soon. It's just the holiday was really busy, and times are really tough to schedule for a podcast, but we should have one coming up soon, and we'll just be covering all NHL trades and rumors. Did you hear about the Scrivens trade for Cassian today?
I saw everything I see on Twitter, by the way, but I saw a tweet that basically said that Scrivens wasn't surprised. So that's how I found out about it today. And I'm not surprised either. It seems like he's been out the door for a while. They were just trying to find another door to put him in.
Yeah. And so we'll be covering stuff like that and just rumors, the Stamkos rumor, how much Kopitar will be making if he re-signs with the Kings. So just basically like just all around NHL stuff. And then I'll be covering some Avalanche and Rampage probably at the end of the podcast, but awesome, just man. Look out for that soon. We'll be tweeting about it.
Well, yeah, I'll retweet it too when you get it out there. I'm sure it's going to be awesome, and I like what you guys have done so far. Plus, I'm always curious to talk to people who are more wide ranging than me, because I'm pretty much Avalanche. I try to be a little bit of Rampage, but I just don't have the exposure to them like other people do, and it'd be silly for me to have any opinions on them. But I appreciate when people like you come on who know what the hell you're talking about. So definitely let me know when that goes down, especially if you hear about trade rumors, because I'm not above them. I know some people won't talk about them and they get pissy on who said them. If they came true, I'm not like that at all, man. I'm like, tell me everything. I want to consider all options, even if they're not real. Like, I want to play the game of, oh, so we're getting Crosby, are we?
Yeah, I don't know if there's any – I mean, just the little rumors right now for the Avalanche are Tyson Barrie this offseason to see if he'll re-sign. I do think Tyson Barrie will re-sign, but if he does not re-sign, I heard that maybe Barrie might be traded for Jake Virtanen, which is nuts. He's on the Canucks. He's a forward. But we lose a defenseman, but we'd get a great forward player, and he's only, like, 19 years old. But
he's good,
that's
though?
Just a rumor right now. If Barry doesn't, he's good. He's playing in World Juniors right now for Team Canada.
Check that out. So the thing
just
about
check out some for Pan.
The thing with Barry though is, I think that he is going to be good for a long, long time. How good? I'm not sure. I'm not sure what his ceiling is yet, but I like him. He's not the player he was last year, in my opinion. Not right now, anyways. But I wonder. I don't know, man. I mean, it's hard not to say that he has the same agent as Ryan O'Reilly, and that guy's been kind of a dick, and who knows what's going on. But if that's still his agent, you got to believe that he's kind of thinking the business game too. And it makes it so that, again, I wouldn't put money on whether he's staying with us or not. I hope so. And I think that he's a good upside, and especially with some other defensemen around him who play a different game than him, he'd be huge for our team. But I don't know, man. That's one of the ones that kind of has me a little anxious, is I'm not so sure he's going to be around forever.
Yeah, I know. And just, I mean, the Avalanche fans have been scarred over the years from, losing Stastny and losing O'Reilly. And so we're thinking of the worst, like, oh, Barry's going to leave too. But I actually think Barry might resign. I don't know what the money will be. I do think that he will be asking for maybe a pretty big amount. I don't know, though, especially with the season. But I'd say he's going to resign, and plus he's really close to MacKinnon, and he might not even have that same role outside the Avalanche. I'm not really sure though, but for Barry, he's I don't know, maybe even I don't know who we have to pair him up with. He's playing with Holden right now, who's actually playing really well, but Holden, as you could if you watch last game and the previous games, he's been taking it up a lot. He's looking like Tyson Barry, which is scary. And
well,
I don't think Barry needs that. I think Barry needs like a defensive defenseman playing with him.
I think so too, with one exception. I would say that him and Big Z are probably a good pair, so long as the rest of our defense is solid two-way players, if not just straight-up defensemen. I mean, EJ is not going to be a straight-up defenseman, but he is a two-way player. Excuse me. So, you know, I think that we have to put the right players around him, right? You have to give him the kind of players that allow him to play his game. I don't think we're there right now. I don't think that's what we have.
No, and plus, like, people are looking at Barry, and they're like, oh, you know, he's not scoring goals, but he's getting assists, so I'm not mad with that. And his D game does look a little weaker this year than last year, but he's just, I mean, not every player is going to have a great, like, a phenomenal year, every season, but he still looks good, which is good for the Avalanche, and I think we should re-sign him.
And nobody's surprised. Everybody knows he's a good player, so he gets a different kind of attention than he did last year, right? Like, nobody, I mean, even though MacKinnon was, you know, so well thought of when it came to the draft and all that, like, you don't know until you play him. People didn't realize just how fast he is. Now everybody knows. So they accommodate for that, and they have that kind of game going. Same thing with Barry. Like, everybody knows that Barry can do that stuff, so they're coming up with game plans to stop Barry instead of Barry being this guy nobody was expecting to go end-to-end and put it between his legs and go top shelf.
Yeah, and I mean, Barry's spreading his name throughout the U.S. or in Canada for sure, because right here in Chicago, I actually saw someone with a Tyson Barry shirt, which is crazy.
That's
thing.
Awesome. What did it look like?
What was it?
What was the shirt like? I'm obviously...
Oh, it was just like it was just the Avs logo in the front and then just Barry on the back. He probably got it on NHL.com or maybe customized it. Yeah, but I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like, Tyson Barry shirt, like, that guy's, I remember this guy was playing like in the AHL, and then we called him up and he just, you know, he sparked, and now he's a full-time NHL player, and we shouldn't lose him.
I think it might have been Elliott, where people are like, I don't know which one's gonna, you know, be the guy. It's gonna be Elliott or it's gonna be Barry. And man, I'm glad it was Barry.
And everyone
Elliott
was saying
just
Elliott
never out. I was never a fan. I'm not even trying to be cool. Like, I knew what was going on, just that guy never did it for me. He didn't seem like he was better than anyone. It seemed like he was just keeping up with everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I did like some of the scoring opportunities, though, but I'd rather have Tyson Barry over him any day, obviously, but Elliott just needed a change in scenery, and now he's playing with, if you saw him last night, he's playing for the Coyotes, and he's got like a second or third line role there, which is, I'm happy for him, you know, because he lost his spot over Barry, because Barry took it.
Yeah, no, I'm happy for him, too, although I have to admit, I didn't catch him on the ice at all. Like I said, I was multitasking, but to not even know he was out there kind of says something. But you could kind of say that about Duchesne for the first period and a half. I didn't really notice him either.
Yeah, I didn't notice a couple guys, but I guess they're just coming back from break, so they're just starting to get the skates on again, if you could think of it that way.
That's going to be my new metric. Every time we talk, we'll talk about, you know, who did you notice, who didn't you? Because me and you are both like, Martinson is kicking ass right now. No doubt about it, right?
Yeah.
Holden's stepping it up. We both noticed him pretty big time. So these other guys who aren't, that's just a pretty good starter for metrics on how a team's doing. Who else is showing up right now then?
Let me think. Obviously, Boschman. He's playing. He's starting to turn out to be that top line role that we wanted. Zach Redmond's been all right. He's not been that great that we saw him, like, you know, remember last season when he would score all those goals and stuff like that, but he's been all right. And Gormley's been all right as well. I'm trying to think of like a player that's really standing out. It's like hard to think besides like Martinson and like Skilly at the moment.
And you might have different levels too, right? Because Gormley and Redmond not messing up is showing up right now for them, because they've had some bonehead situations. So not having those maybe is a step in the right direction.
Yes. And, actually, a player I see stepping up right as of last game was Jerome Iginla. He's starting to look – this is around the time he starts heating up, and that's always a positive for the Avalanche. Maybe even see him play up first line if he starts scoring more. I don't know if you've noticed, but Alex Tanguay looks – he doesn't look great out there. And I'm not really sure what the Avalanche will do this offseason because he's a free agent. I don't know if he'll retire or sign somewhere else, but I do not think he'll be with the Avalanche next season.
I think Tenge came here to end his career, however long that took. But
Yep.
I think that when he's done here, he's probably not moving on. I don't believe the guy's hurting for money. He seems like he's smart enough to have a game plan leaving the league. And I don't know, man. I mean, you never know. Things can turn it on for a night here and there. But I have to agree, overall, it seems like his play on the ice is waning a little bit. And that could be the guys around him, whatever. But I think his position's going to be replaced as soon as that contract comes up.
Oh yeah, for sure. And he's looking slower out there. And him and Iginla are similar type players. And Iginla, you could take him any day over Tange. And he's looking like a whole new player as of like last night or like recently. And he will turn on, but Tange, I don't know if he'll turn on. Not
Did
really
you
sure.
see when Tange got dumped in front of the net and Iggy made that face like, I'm about to kill you? Those guys definitely have that kind of
Yeah.
relationship where Iggy's not letting anybody mess with Tangs. It's almost like this cartoon character story out there. Like there's the little brainy guy who does all the skill stuff and all that. And then you got the bruiser who, puts the slap shot past people. But if you piss him off, his face gets twice as big and red and wrinkly. And it was comical. But like, I really appreciate that too. Like, Iggy's just a good teammate. He really is.
Yeah, and plus I also appreciate Tange because Tange was one of the main reasons why Iginla came to the Avalanche over that couple of years ago or last off season, I guess. But yeah, so Tange, I guess, called him and was like, yo, we have a spot here on the Avalanche. Like, we got a young team. And it was after that 13 season where we were on fire. And Iginla was like,
Right.
for sure, I'll come there. So yeah, Tange brought over Iginla, and I'm thankful for that.
Well, there it is. Tenge is going to be a scout next year. A huge thanks to Richard Pollock for coming on the show and telling us everything that he knows about the Rampage, the Avalanche, and what he's hearing out there. It's really awesome to hear other perspectives and to hear how people see the Avs from places like Chicago. Who would have expected a Barry shirt in Chicago? Let's hope that never happens. If you love this podcast, be sure and subscribe at iTunes by searching for Colorado Hockey or just going to coloradohockey.com and clicking on the iTunes button. This show, like every other show, is brought to you by AvsFam, AvsFam.com. The coolest hockey shirts you're ever going to find. You should get one, wear it, love it, and share it. www.avsfam.com. Stay awesome.